Good morning. Good morning. I'm Pastor Roy Carter from the New Life Christian Fellowship Church located here in Racine, Wisconsin, 1529 North Wisconsin Street, here in Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. Telephone number 262-417-7363. Our website, nlracine.org. We say to you, good morning. Welcome. This truly is a day that our Lord has made, and we find ourselves rejoicing, and we're glad in it. God has brought us through this week, through the ups and downs of this week. God has brought us to today. And no matter what we have gone through this week to get to today, God has brought us to today. And so we rise to see new mercies that God provides for us on today, that we can live in harmony with Him. We say welcome to you. We want you to come join in with us. Share this message. Tag somebody in on it. Get somebody in that they too might hear a word of the Lord on today. Our message we come to you with is to bring you hope, to encourage you, to push you, to spur you on in your walk with the Lord. We just want to take the time, as we always do each Sunday, to remind you to practice the health initiatives from our health professionals concerning our washing of our hands and sanitizing and social distancing and wearing our masks. Let's find ourselves still continuing to practice these things, that we might continue to remain healthy, that we might get through this pandemic time. Things are improving and getting better, but we want to make sure that we get through it all. So let's find ourselves doing it. And if you don't do it for yourself, you don't see the need to do it, or you feel like you're beyond it, or as I've heard some people say, I got COVID and it wasn't that bad, I implore you to continue to practice these things for the benefit of others, that they too might remain well. We also want to take the time, as we do each week, to thank each one of you for your financial support, knowing that the financial support that you give to New Life Church helps us to continue on in ministry. And we're just believing that with God's grace, with God's help, we'll soon be meeting again in person. Until such time, thank you. Now, let's go to the Word of God on today. Let's go to the Word of God on today. You know, in the society that we live in, there's so much going on, just so much. We wake up in the morning, and one of the first things I do is look at the news when I get up in the morning, kind of see what has happened since I was awake and alert last, and there's just so much going on. And it leaves many people feeling like, where do I fit in, and do I even matter? Am I of any importance to anybody? And sadly, sometimes they don't even feel of an importance to themselves. We just kind of want to look at this morning with the idea that you matter to the Lord. You matter to the Lord. Our scripture this morning, we're coming from Mark chapter 1, and we're going to begin at the first verse, reading from the New King James Version, Mark chapter 1. It says, "And he, Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and there was a man there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?' But they kept silent. When he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon. And a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that many as had afflictions pressed against him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whether they saw him whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. And he went up to the mountain and called to those to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house. This morning, I want to talk about Thaddeus. You say, who? Yeah, right, Thaddeus. When we mentioned the 12 men that Jesus chose, we've come to know them as his disciples, his close followers. We see in there the name Thaddeus. Don't hear much about him. Don't hear much about him at all. But we do hear of him. And that's who I want to talk about today. Thaddeus. Many of us who follow after Jesus, who take Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, we discount ourselves. We compare ourselves to others, and we compare ourselves to others who have become famous to everybody else. And then we find ourselves many times feeling less than. We have this feeling of less than, and often in our feeling of less than, we forget the words of Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, where he says, "Whatever you do, work it out with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." If you're doing what God has called you to do, if you're living your life in a way that you know is pleasing to God, you are successful in the eyes of God. Now, on the flip side, you can have a lot of money and have fine material things and be well known among people and not doing as God would have you to do, not living as God would have you to live. You then are not considered successful in the eyes of God. And you know, today as we're consumed with so much superficial ways of measuring success, but God's word helps us to understand that God does not measure people the way people measure people. The lens of God is thoroughly different. You may not matter to people. Hear me. You may not matter to people. You may see yourself as nothing or as a nobody. And sadly, too many times we hear this from other people and then we start believing it ourselves, believing that we don't matter. I'm here to tell you today that you matter. You matter. To the Lord, you matter. You are significant. You are relevant. You are worthy of taking note of. You have value to the Lord. And I want you to see that. Today, we're going to see that through the life of Thaddeus. And then there again, keep in mind, we don't hear much about Thaddeus. But Thaddeus mattered to Jesus. And just as Thaddeus mattered to Jesus, you matter to Jesus. How did Thaddeus matter to Jesus? Well, let's look at some things here. Jesus knows you by name, just as he knew Thaddeus by name. Now, Thaddeus in the Bible is called by several different names. He's called Labius in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 3. He's called Judas, brother of James in Luke chapter 6 and 16. He's called Judas, not Iscariot, distinguished. That's not who we're talking about in John chapter 14 and verse 22. But then here, Jesus refers to him as Thaddeus. Throughout scripture, we don't hear anything about his teaching or his preaching or anything like that, like we do about James and John and Peter. But I guarantee you, Thaddeus did some of all of that. In Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7, it points out that when Jesus called the 12 and he began to send them out two by two, giving them authority over impure things. And then in verse number 12, it says, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. Thaddeus might not have been one of the well-known people, but he was known to Jesus in that Jesus himself chose Thaddeus for a work, for a way of living, and Thaddeus went out and lived that way. He mattered to Jesus. And just like he mattered to Jesus, you matter to Jesus. You matter to Jesus. Jesus didn't necessarily call him to be Peter or James or John or any of the other disciples. He called Thaddeus because Thaddeus was who Thaddeus is. Jesus calls you because you are who you are. He doesn't call you to be me or anybody else. He calls you to be who you are. He wants to have a walk with you. You matter to the Lord. Many times we will look at other believers and we'll desire to be like them. We'll want to have the opportunities that they have. We'll seek after the things that they have. We will want to be like them. But when we seek after the things of God and accept that God made me and I am who I am, and he personally chose me, God personally chooses you. Just like, you know, God spoke to Jeremiah way back in the beginning, and he tells Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Jesus knows you by your name. Jeremiah, he says, I knew you before then. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nation. David talks about the fact in Psalm 91 and 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because I have known his name. You matter to God. You matter to him. John chapter 3 and verse number 10 points out the fact that Jesus, the shepherd, the good shepherd, the one that is leading his people, the sheep, it says in there, he says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I'm trying to help you to see that you matter to the Lord and he knows you by name. Other people may not know you. Other people may not recognize you. Other people may not even care, but he knows you by name. You matter to the Lord. Not only did the Lord call Thaddeus specifically by name, and the Lord then knows him by name, but the Lord values you. The Lord values you when other people don't see your worth. When other people think nothing of you and you don't even matter, you're a non-factor to other people, Jesus picked you and he knows your value. As Jesus began his public ministry, and there's just this throngs of people all around him, people just everywhere following him, he personally chooses the 12 followers. The 12 intimate people that will be with him closely, that he prepares them in a special way. Remember, they got in on stuff that other people didn't get in on. They heard the parables that were spoken specifically to them for their knowledge and their understanding. Thaddeus was selected to be in that number of the 12. They were hand selected by God, just as you are hand selected by the Lord. You are hand-selected by the Lord. And I don't care what situation you're in life and what's going on in your life. You are hand selected by the Lord. You might want to say that to yourself. I am hand selected by the Lord. When I think of being hand selected, I think of going to the grocery store. And, you know, one of the things I like to do is I like to go to the produce section. And I like to pick my own. I don't go buy a bag of apples. I want to pick each one. Because sometimes, you know, you get that bag of apples. I opened a container of tomatoes yesterday. I'm doing some cooking. And when I opened the tomato, on the top, that was pretty. They were nice and vine ripened red. And when I opened up and took the ones off the top, they were absolutely rotten. They were rotten. Had I hand-picked them all, I would have made sure not to pick none that were rotten. I wouldn't have picked any that were moldy. When you're hand-picked, you get to pick what you want. Jesus hand-picked Thaddeus, just like Jesus will hand-pick you. It says in Psalm number 139, David is speaking. And God is talking to David, and he says, "For you formed my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. So therefore, I will praise you," David said, "for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." You need to know that God made you, God formed you. And as he goes on to say, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. I'm skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet formed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." Before you were even born, God knew you. And the Lord picked you. As Isaiah 43 points out, 43 and 4, we're precious in the sight of the Lord. Remember, you matter to him. Flaws and all, you matter to the Lord. May not matter to nobody else, but you matter to the Lord. You matter to him. So regardless of our stations in life, no matter what, we matter to the Lord, and he values us even when other people don't. He values us even when other people don't. I have at my house a few glasses, I don't know what you call it, stemware. To most people, they just say, "Oh, them just some glasses. They got the little monogram on it, got my C on there." They mean the world to me, if for no other reason than my mother gave them to me. So whereas other people would just look at it and go, "Oh, them just some glasses. Ain't no big deal. Just get your drink." To me, those are special because of the fact that my mom gave them to me. They matter. They're of value to me. So for a long time, I wouldn't even drink out of them. I wouldn't let nobody else touch them. I wouldn't do nothing. And then I realized it's like, that don't make no sense. You're going to leave them there and not ever use them. Think about this. You know, Peter was with Jesus. And Peter had a special place with the Lord. And now there comes a time that Jesus is about to leave this earth. He's going to be crucified. And Peter, in his confidence in his place with God, the Lord comes and wants to wash his feet and do all of those things in that lesson about humility that he teaches. And Peter rejects that, like, no, you're not doing that to me. And they have a discussion, but Jesus lets Peter know, "You're going to deny me." And Peter is sitting there going, "Oh, no, somebody else might deny you, but not me. Because me, Jesus, me and you like this. We like this, and I'm not going to deny you at all." And sure enough, the trial comes up. Well, even before the trial comes up, when they come to the garden to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter is so upset at the idea that y'all going to take my Lord, he grabs a sword and cuts off the servant of the high priest's ear. He's ready to defend Jesus. But now later, some hours later, that same night, they're gathered around a campfire. And you know how people did just get around there talking, and a young lady sees him and goes, "You was with Jesus." And Peter goes, "No, I wasn't." And he keeps on and keeps on. She goes, "You even sound like y'all all talk the same." He ends up denying Jesus, just as Jesus said that he would. Now follow me, stick with me here. And just as Jesus said, then the rooster crows, and now Peter remembers what Jesus said, that you're going to deny me. And Peter is feeling ashamed. Peter is feeling like, oh man, I done messed up. I'm embarrassed in the worst kind of way. I say all of that because many times we live our lives and we do things that leave us feeling just embarrassed to the end. Like, and then we feel like it's hopeless. There's no hope for me. I done messed up. Oh well. Notice what Jesus did. Because you matter. I need you to see this. You matter. So now when Jesus rises from the grave, he tells the women, y'all go get the disciples and tell them to meet me in Galilee. And he says, and Peter too. Because Peter mattered to the Lord. He was of value to the Lord. And so now they meet, but Peter's still feeling, he's ashamed. He's embarrassed. He feels like I've embarrassed the Lord and there's just no hope. And later Jesus meets the disciples out on the seashore. Because they've gone on back to doing what they was doing. You know, before Jesus came, they feel like, well, our Messiah, we missed the boat on that one. The Messiah is dead. The tomb is empty. He's not going to save us from the Roman people. We just lost. And they go back to their old ways. You ever go back to your own ways? You feel like you messed up and you messed up so bad. You go back to what you was doing before you gave your life to the Lord. But because Peter mattered to Jesus, Jesus met him there at the seashore. Let him sulk a little bit. Let him go fishing. Let him do him. You know, I'm going to do me. Peter was going to do him. And went out and fished all night long. And they didn't catch nothing. Didn't catch nothing. You know, sound like some of us sometimes. We go do stuff our own way. We turn our back on the Lord and feel like, well, I'm just going to go on and do me now. Just forget it. And in the process of doing him, it came to nothing. These were experienced fishermen. They knew how to fish. They knew where to fish. And they got nothing. But because Peter mattered to Jesus, Jesus never abandoned him. He was right there. And he talked specifically to Peter. And they had the conversation about loving. And Jesus said, do you love me? And they go through that whole discourse. And Jesus restores Peter to his rightful place. And we find that when time came to speak out for Jesus later as a witness to the rest, Peter was the first one to get up and start preaching about Jesus. Why? Because he mattered to Jesus. See this. Even when he messed up, Jesus didn't throw him away. See, because many times we'll mess up in life. We mess up many times. He does not throw us away because he sees our significance. We matter to him. And in our mattering to him, he is willing to restore us, to continue to love us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4 starts out. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. God loves you with a great love. You got to know this. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. I love the fact that it's a gift of God, because when it's a gift, all you got to do is receive it. All you got to do is take it. Not that anybody should boast. Not of works. Not that anybody should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. I need you to see yourself in the value that the Lord sees of you. See your calling, see your position in life, see your value in living with the Lord the way he sees it. See the need for living in harmony with the Lord the way he sees it. There ain't no need to compare yourself to nobody else. You matter to the Lord. So even before the Lord chose Thaddeus to be his disciple, Thaddeus was important to the Lord. even before the foundation of the world, he chose us in him before the creation of the world. People may not know you by your name. They may never give you that recognition. People may not value you and recognize your worth, but Jesus does. You matter to him. And then Jesus recognizes your efforts. And he doesn't just recognize them, he rewards them. He rewards them. The scripture lets us know that the Lord rewards those who diligently seek him and serve him. People may never have nothing good to say about you choosing to live for the Lord, but you got to remember, you living for the Lord and not for people. You are living that the Lord might reward you and not for people. It should not be strange. Understand this. It should not be strange to you that another employer does not, again, accolades for the work that you do. You ain't working for people. You're working for the Lord. So what you do, God recognizes. And as a result, he rewards us for the things that we do. There are some rewards that we get simply because we have been positioned by God. And then as a result, whatever we do it heartily unto the Lord, as Colossians chapter 3 tells us, and not unto man, that we will receive the reward of the inheritance, for we serve the Lord Christ. Like Thaddeus, we decide to leave things behind us that we might go and follow Jesus, knowing that as we go and follow Jesus, he shall reward us. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29. Everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and wives and children for my name's sake, Jesus says, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. And Jesus says in Revelation chapter 13, behold, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me to reward everybody according to the work that you do. You want to get paid? How about you understand that you matter to the Lord? And as a result that I matter to him, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to live in harmony with him. One day I'm going to appear before the judgment seat of the Lord. And at that time, he'll reward me according as my works have been. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he's going to reward me. He's going to judge me based on whether my works have been good or bad. It's here at the judgment that we receive those crowns that we often talk about, the crown of life that's given to people who are faithful, the incorruptible crown that's given for being faithful to the Lord. As in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, that crown of life that's given to the person who endures and overcomes temptation, as in James 1 and 12. That crown of rejoicing, that one that is given to the one who wins souls unto the Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 19. That crown of righteousness that is given to those who anticipate and live in the light of the fact that the Lord shall return. And when he comes, he's going to come and get us, those who matter to him, and who live their lives as though they matter to him. And then there is the crown of glory that'll be given to those who minister the life that Jesus gives them to minister. We may not know many details about the life of Thaddeus. That's okay. People may not know much about you. That's okay. The thing that matters is the fact that the Lord knows you. You matter to him. The Lord knows you by your name. Not only does he know you by your name, he knows the value that you possess, and he recognizes you for your worth. And then he rewards you for your efforts in living in harmony with him. Find yourselves understanding that you matter. You are important to the Lord. You're important to the Lord. When I think about the Lord and how important I am to him, you know, that we all know the scripture, John 3:16, it said, God so loved the world, that's a part of that, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God made a way of salvation for us. Other scripture says, while we were still sinners, he made a way of salvation for us that we could be reconciled to him. If we didn't matter, he would just let us go on. He would just let us go on and die and go to hell. But because he loves us enough, we matter to him enough, we are of value to him enough, he makes this way of salvation for us. And for this, we're grateful. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you not just for being God, but for being our God, a God who loves us, a God who cares about us, a God who we matter to. You know the number of hairs on our head. You know our thoughts from afar off. You know even before we form the words to say what we say, you know what we're going to say because we matter to you. And you made a way of salvation for us that we could be forgiven for our sins. Even now, Father, forgive us. Where we fail you, forgive us. Where we miss the mark, forgive us. Where we fall down, forgive us. Help us to stand in you on the firm foundation that you lay for us through your word, Jesus Christ. Now today, God, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a world where it looks like anger is taking over, where hatred is taking over, where evil seems to be winning, we know that you win and we matter to you. So we ask that you just stretch forth your hand, protect those, oh God, that are called by your name. Protect us from hurt, harm, and danger. Keep us in your care. Help us to live in a way that as salt of the earth and as lights of the world, we can draw the unbeliever that they too will come to know of your saving grace, that they too can share in all that you have for those who are faithful to you. Father, bless those that lead us and guide us. Regardless as to what position they might have, let them do what is right by the people as they follow after your will and your way. God, let your love abide. Help us to praise you, to give you the glory that you're worthy of, because you deserve it in all ways. We fail sometimes to praise you. We fail many times to honor you in our living. And Lord, as you forgive us, let us begin to do these things that you can be glorified, knowing that as we praise you, we open up the door even broader that you might share with us. We want to live in harmony with you. Let this be done according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, God. Amen. Now today you go and live in victory. And remember above all, you matter to the Lord, just as Thaddeus did. We may not hear much about Thaddeus. He's called by several different names in Scripture, but he mattered to the Lord. You matter to the Lord. Be like Peter. And although you may have messed up, you may have denied him in your actions, in your living, the Lord never abandoned you. But he is right there that he might restore, put your feet on the right path, and then help you to walk in harmony with him. God bless you. Share this message with somebody that they too might come to know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Live in victory today. We love you with the love of the Lord.